Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Chris Risley, and I have a reflection out of the book of Joshua to share with you today. This is Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9, an excerpt of this. We read, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.'" You know, this is almost word for word what Moses said to Joshua, and now Joshua is hearing it directly from God. God will use people to encourage us, but ultimately we need to make sure that we have direction from him and that we are hearing from him. And in these short verses, we see three times God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, which must mean that he felt weak and he felt fearful or anxious. And that's encouraging to me because that's exactly how I feel most of the time. You know, when I shared that with my husband, he asked, "Really, most of the time you feel overwhelmed or anxious?" And I said, "Well, is that true?" And then I reflected on my journal entries and how often my day-by-day journal entries are, "I feel overwhelmed by my schedule. I feel really stressed out. I feel anxious about this conversation coming up." And I thought, no, I think that's about right, that I feel this way most of the time. And so I just want to reflect on each of those pieces that Joshua needed to learn from God. This idea of feeling weak or overwhelmed, there are things about following God that are overwhelming at times. You know, God calls us to have a strong marriage and family, to fight for regular time with God, to find ways to love and serve people, to be a good employee. And I look at that and I think, that is overwhelming. But you know what? I think they're supposed to feel that way. If God were asking me to do something I was capable of in my own power, then I would never need to rely on him for anything. And so I find that God regularly calls me to things that are just beyond what I'm capable of doing in and of myself that I have to rely on him for. What God promised to Joshua is the same thing that he promises to us today, that he is with us, that he has given us his spirit to empower us for the life he calls us to live. In John 10, Jesus says that he's the good shepherd. He's also the gate into life with God. He says in verses 9 and 10, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." A full life. That's a good way to describe the life God has for me. And I tell you what, before I was a Christian, I longed for relationships. I longed for purpose. And now, one of the ways that I'm overwhelmed is the number of relationships that I have in my life. But whenever I'm tempted to complain, God reminds me that he has answered my prayers for me, that he's given me the relationships and the purpose that I'm longing for. Now, my life is full. I can't remember the last time I was bored or lonely for any length of time. And so, yes, it can get overwhelming, but only if I'm trying to do it on my own without relying on God's strength and God's presence. If he's telling Joshua to be courageous, then it also means he must have felt fearful or anxious. You know, we live in an age characterized by anxiety. Rates of anxiety just keep increasing, and the younger you are, the worse it is. There's a lot of different sources of anxiety, but I'd like to suggest only a few. There's the news that broadcasts every terrible thing that happens from every corner of the world that make it feel like they happen to someone that I know. And then narrowing it down, there's true crime podcasts that play up every detail of some terrible things that are out there. For example, maybe some of you have heard of National Parks After Dark. This is a podcast that has this description. People from all over the world are visiting national parks in record numbers and for good reason. These places are brimming with beauty and inspire reconnection with our wild world. But with more and more people entering our parks, more and more of them never leave. Hosts Cassie and Danielle have been friends for years, bonding over a love for the outdoors and what can go wrong there. Join them every week as they enter a new park to explore its beauty and its darkness. Okay, I've camped in many, many places in the country and have always felt more than safe, except for an occasional bear. That podcast makes it feel like I'm offering myself up to serial killers every single time I camp. And so if we're surrounded by things like this, and then we have our own natural anxieties, then what's the move? Are we just supposed to stop feeling anxious? Well, fortunately, that's not what God tells Joshua to do. Instead, he tells him, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. He calls Joshua to meditate on the word in response to his fears. And my first reaction is to think, well, I don't know how to meditate. But then a moment of reflection reminds me that I do know how to meditate, because meditation is turning to something and using it to fill your mind when you feel anxious. And don't I naturally do that with my phone and other technologies? I naturally just turn to it and spend a lot of time on it in order to block out other thoughts. And God is saying, instead of turning to other things to distract you, how about you turn to my word? That you need to find promises that speak to your anxiety. And so I want to read just a couple of different verses that maybe you could use during times where you feel fearful or anxious. How about Matthew 6, Jesus' words? Starting in verse 25, he says, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you'll have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. You read that and you realize, oh, there are a lot of things that I worry about that God has totally provided for. And those words of Jesus bring my attention to ways in which God cares about even the smallest details of my life. Or how about Psalm 23, verse 4, where David writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David is acknowledging there are times that are very dark, that are very scary, but we're not alone in those times, that God is walking right next to us, that he is beside us, and that he will make sure that we don't fall off the track, that he will keep us on track. And I read that and I can reflect back to times where I felt very lost, where it felt very dark, but in retrospect, I can see ways in which God was keeping me company the entire way through. Or how about Mark 13, as Jesus is talking to his disciples about suffering that was ahead of them? He's talking about people who were going to oppose them. He says, be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts. You will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is being honest about the fact that they are going to go through some extreme sufferings and trials, but they would also be given the chance to testify for him, and they would be given the exact right words. And so it reminds me of times where I feel anxious or, you know, somebody's upset with me, and all of a sudden these words are coming out of my mouth, and I think, oh, those are the right words. These are great points, because they don't come from me. They're things that God has given me to say so that people can understand more about him and about his grace. You know, meditating on the word means going over and over it, spending time with it, slowing down, maybe saying it out loud, memorizing some key passages, and the word itself will start to transform your mind. The word itself will get you thinking different thoughts than you would have thought on your own. And so as we read these instructions to Joshua, we realize the same is true to us today. That we can be strong and courageous because we have the same word that he had, and even more than he had. And we also know that God is with us wherever we go. And you too have the opportunity to be faithful, to trust God, and to see God come through, because he's the same faithful God today as he was to Joshua back then. So thanks for joining us today. For more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.